Fit Eds, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is episode 65, Tea Time 2.0, even quieter. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We're broadcast around the world, picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Wherever you're listening in the world, we appreciate you tuning in. If you're listening to my podcast or iTunes or any of those mobile devices, toss us an up thumbs, up vote, up arrow, comment, whatever. Just interact with us. Please, please interact with us. If you want to drop a line to the show, surgeon at cigarfederation.com. I'm joined by my special guest, co-host, and the guy who started the show with me, the MFN CEO, Logan.
What's going on? Nothing, man. excuse me. Back from India, laying down under, or at least I feel like it. I completed trip number 13 in the bag and I know you're not an American, you're a Canadian, but I have to think that your healthcare is probably somewhat similar to Indian healthcare. Like, I got a chest cold and like was up all night, like literally not trying to make anyone sick here, but like hacking green gunk into like a, you know, into a cup. Overnight, couldn't sleep, went to the doctor, literally was the second in line, got a doctor that was educated in the United States, spoke perfect English, even made jokes about how I was at the Indian hospital, but I was American, got in and out in 5 minutes, got a prescription to go get fixed, went down to the pharmacy, which was inside the doctor's office, and literally walked in and had my prescription in less than a minute. You know how much all this cost me, John?
How much that cost you, bro?
$5.
I think you had me all right up until the point where you're talking about prescription drugs, because I got to tell you, unless you've got secondary health care plan, prescription drugs are not cheap in Canada. They're cheaper, but they're not cheap.
Dude, it was awesome. So anyways, feel much better. I'm back in action. I'm doing good. And I'm just, you know, I'm really glad that we... Before Cats Fest 2, you came over to the house, and I talked you into spreading your wings on this show, man, because what episode are you on now?
This is episode 66, if you can believe
Seriously?
It.
Seriously? Yeah. Has it been that many?
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's I can't believe nuts. Anyone would watch me talk about anything for any length of time. All of you all out there, we appreciate you, but you're a little bit crazy.
You're a little bit crazy. I mean, I can see why people watch the show, because you – is this a cussing show?
This is not a cussing show. You can't cuss until the end of the Armed Forces.
That is such crap.
Otherwise, I got to stay up late making the girlfriend even angrier than she already is.
Hey, let me just ask a question. Who owns this mother?
Well, you own it.
Okay, well, Big then. Daddy. All right. Well, house rules, dog.
It still means I got to edit it.
I don't want to upset Laura, because I have a feeling she might, you know, be really pissed off at me and, like, come after me. So I won't say any cuss words. But.
For those who aren't, just to cut you off there, for those who aren't aware, I of course have a new gig or have had a new gig since November.
It's his dream. He's in the industry now.
I'm in the industry, and you know, sometimes, you know what they say, be careful what you wish for, because you just
the
might
grass
get
is
it.
An old greener.
Sometimes now I have a full understanding of why people in the industry, maybe they don't get back to me in an email right away. It's maybe because they have 150 emails in the last 5 minutes, 10 phone calls, 22 text messages. And they've been on the road for 4 days, and they're just trying to keep their significant other happy. That's what it means to be in the industry, and I have whole new respect for people.
Whole new respect. Well, you know, I hear you. I still don't understand. I mean, I let me just say this about the getting back to people, right? Like, I think I'm pretty quick on email. You're pretty quick on email.
Yeah.
But – like, to not get a response after 24 hours in this day and age, unless you're on an airplane to, like, India, like, there's really no excuse.
Yeah.
But other than that, we don't have to get down that rat hole. But, dude, I'm really excited, man. Tea Time.
Tea Time.
Episode 66.
I don't even remember when we did Tea Time 1.0. I know it was probably...
It was, like, first five.
Yeah, I think it was, like, the first five. And I can't believe it's... I mean, you've got a busy schedule. I've got a busy schedule. But I can't believe it's been this long since we've done a follow-up show, because we had a lot of people really enjoy that show.
Yeah, I know. I mean, although I partook in the, you know, the Devil's Brew in my earlier fraternity days, and my alter ego, Chuck Murphy, sometimes wants to come out. I really don't drink a whole lot. And, dude, it's been so busy. I mean, between Callaway real corporate work job, SigFed, the store, you know, all types of stuff. It's been wife, family. I mean, it's just incredibly busy.
I hear you. I mean, I don't have a family. I can't imagine how people juggle all those responsibilities and, you know, have projects like full-time running a cigar website while doing cigar business, while doing many, many other things. Yeah. You know what? We can talk more about that in the After Dark segment because people are tuned in to hear us pair. I am pairing. I know you kind of raised your eyebrow at me. This is really good. I'm not sure I've smoked the Fratello in the Corona before. I was a little worried because it does have Nicaraguan filler in it that it might overpower some of the teas. But, dude, this is really good. This is like, if Rob were here, I'd be using the word creamy
Rob
every 5 seconds.
Rob likes it.
I could see that because this is right up his alley. So this is Fratello Corona. Corona. See, I can't even speak anymore. Has a Nicaraguan Habano wrapper, Ecuadorian Sumatra binder, which I think is giving it a lot of sweetness and almost some cinnamon. And then it's got Nicaraguan and Peruvian filler. Peruvian filler. Very odd. What are you smoking tonight?
Do you like Peruvian tobacco?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I've... No?
No.
I don't know that I've smoked a lot of Peruvian. I really dig Costa Rican tobacco because, you know, there's a certain someone in the industry who seems to be a master with Costa Rican tobacco.
There's some Costa Rican tobacco. I'm assuming you're referring to Grossier.
Indeed, I am.
Yeah, I mean, he does a really good job, but there's a lot of people that do a really bad job with Costa Rican tobacco.
And I mean, there's a lot of people that do a really bad job with cigar blending in general.
I mean, but I think it's a lot. Let me just say, I mean, not that we're here for a compliment hour, but I think, I don't know if anyone out there would agree with me, I think it is much more difficult. Like, I can do it, right? Anybody can blend a decent cigar in Nicaragua. Yep. If you're at, you know, one of the top four or five factories, or even one of the smaller boutique factories like Black Label or Roma Craft, and you have people that know what they're doing, it's hard to make a bad cigar using Nicaraguan tobacco. But I think it's much easier to make a bad cigar when you're using Honduran, Dominican. I just feel like that. And I feel like to make a really great cigar or a line or brand of cigars using Costa Rican tobacco is like freaking impossible.
Well, I mean, to put it into context, because I mean, I agree with part of what you're saying. I think the flip side of that is it's okay, you can make an okay cigar, but it's really hard to make a great cigar. And I think that's what everyone's striving for. You know, we talk about our review system. We're getting way off topic here, but we talk about our review system. And, you know, there's so many people say, well, so many cigars kind of land in that like 80, 85, 86 range. Like, yeah, because it's not that hard to make an okay cigar that's smokable and whatever, but to actually blow your skirt up, that's pretty hard. And there's, you know, if you look at the number of cigars that score in the box split box buy rating, there's not a lot. Like over the last,
I don't know, ever since
years,
I quit reviewing cigars, that number's went up dramatically.
Maybe you need to come back and be the voice of dissent. Maybe that's what
you be the be it matter the voice of reason.
You could call it reason. Sure, let's go with that. Reason.
Let's
sounds
go with that one. Okay. So of course, I'm smoking. Well, go ahead. Finish.
Go ahead.
Your thought.
No, you want. I go ahead.
No, so I'm smoking Surrogate Satin Glove, Mexican San Andreas wrapper, all Nicaraguan binder filler from my father. I don't quote me on this, but I think it uses pretty much exclusively all Pepin tobacco, Pepin grown and raised tobacco. Came out 2014, right at about the same time. Actually, it was earlier in the year and was one of the top, at least in my humble opinion, one of the San Andreas releases that came out in 2014 and competed kind of head-to-head with the Jericho Hill by Crowned Heads. So I'll be pairing that tonight. And I apologize. Surgeon, the reason he has this show and it's his show is because he goes out and get like mint freaking julep tea and stuff. I am going to pair this cigar with three different brands of English breakfast tea.
You're Bigelow. You're gonna be wired, son.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. Bigelow, what's the other one? Twinnings, and then just some whole ground stuff that you can get in bulk, and we'll just compare that against the cigar.
Well, if you're doing a Twinnings, you should save that for last because I am also doing a Twinnings breakfast tea. That's actually one of my favorite English breakfast teas.
Oh,
a little bit. Yeah,
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think because you think of Twinnings as kind of a mass market company, but they make great tea. It's all solid tea.
Yeah, I mean, they We're part of the East India Trading Company. So it's not just in Pirates of the Caribbean. That was actually a real thing. The British going into China and India and places in like Kenya and places like that, where tea grows very, very well. And that's kind of how Twinnings got started.
I don't think people recognize that a lot of wars and a lot of power was decided by the transit of tea around the world. It was kind of very a big true. Deal. Still kind of a big deal today, because if you check a population count around the world, you'll find a heck of a lot more people drink tea than drink any other beverage.
This is very true. I mean, that, tobacco.
Yeah. So just a reminder to audience, you're tuning into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 66. Yes, that's right. We've had 66 of these episodes. Tea Time 2.0, even quieter. I'm going to start out with my first tea just as soon as it's done steeping here on my patio. So I'm going to do what we call a filler, which is my way of just talking and eating up that time, making you think that I know what I'm doing. So I'm actually pairing three teas as well. I'm going to start out with a Numi organic tea. A little bit about Numi. They were started by Ahmed and Reem Rahim in 1999 in Oakland, California, of all places. And the first tea up is a Moroccan mint tea. I kind of dig Moroccan mint tea. I kind of got introduced to it when I went for Moroccan food, and they said, you know, had Moroccan tea, mint tea with dinner. And I was thinking, because I'm not really a huge fan of mint in general. Like, if you have mint and chocolate, I am not a fan. So I was kind of prepared for it to suck. It did not suck. It was actually quite tasty.
Huh. It's quite interesting. Was that your timer? You actually timed how long you steep the thing?
Yeah, and that's going to last.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
That's right.
Who are you?
The tea Nazi.
God, apparently. Your level of accuracy. I mean, other than Rob, the people that I've surrounded myself with on Cigar Federation, like you and Jared, the level of attention to detail and accuracy, I mean, God bless you guys.
Thank you, brother.
I know.
We definitely have attention to detail. So I'm going to take a couple sips here because it is done. That was my timer. It doesn't smell as minty as some of the Moroccan mint tea I've had before. Like, I think, you know, I can definitely smell the spearmint, but I've had Moroccan mint tea where, I mean, you smell the spearmint, it sounds like someone opened a toothpaste tub, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because spearmint naturally, and we talked about this in the pop show, it was in my birch beer. And I think spearmint's a pretty good palate cleanser without overpowering really? your palate afterwards.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of interesting. I mean, I wouldn't think that it would, because I wouldn't call it menthol, but that menthol-y type of effect, I feel like would kind of actually mess you up. But that's just a guess.
I'm pouring more tea.
So tell me when you want me to go into my pairing, surgeon.
I would say go ahead, because I'm just preparing my second brew. I'm trying to time this. I've never had to – I mean, normally we're just popping beer and popping whiskey, so there's not a lot of preparation involved. I'm going to take a couple sips of my mint tea and set up my second brew here. Why don't you go ahead and talk about your first pairing?
So my first pairing is the Satin Glove, which we've already talked about, and Bigelow English Breakfast Tea. And I wish I had the packet. I guess I threw it somewhere. Oh, here it is. English breakfast tea. Bigelow actually is a U.S.-based company that was founded in Fairfax, Connecticut, and is at least like traditional tea, one of the biggest ones, if not the biggest one, in the U.S. And it actually maintains one of the only tea plantations inside the United States in South Carolina. So once again, Logan's humble opinion, is kind of a bastard child, I think, to Twinnings. I mean, cost is fairly similar. It's a little bit cheaper. But I mean, it's readily available. You can get it anywhere. But, you know, when you kind of pair it with a cigar, I feel like, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong here. I'm still kind of letting this thing cool off, 'cause I don't want to burn my mouth sore here, but, 'cause I ate a Hot Pocket that was too hot today. But, you know, I feel like a lot of in Bigelow, the tea flavors don't come through as strong, even though you steep it the exact same amount of time. And I don't know if that's the quality of the leaf or whatever, but I feel like it doesn't come through as much. But I feel with the Bigelow teas, when you come like to a caffeine kick, like it's definitely more amped up. Like in the morning, if you have a similar, like the same size of Bigelow and Twinnings, you're definitely going to have more of a caffeine jolt from Bigelow than you would when you would from Twinning.
Well, talking about this pairing so far, it's actually going much better than I thought. The Spearmint, because it is quite subtle in this, I'm going to hold up. I found the packet stuffed in my pocket there. So that's what it looks like. It's Numi Organic Tea. It's quite good. I mean, I could actually see myself drinking this in an afternoon. You know, I'm generally a big fan of green teas in the morning or in the afternoon. And this is a, you know, it's a nice subtle mint tea. It is bringing a little bit more leather out of the cigar, you know, that Nicaraguan leather that you kind of get in a lot of Nicaraguan tobacco. I wasn't getting that originally. It was very creamy. Like I said, I had a little bit of cinnamon. I think this tea is definitely bringing that out of the cigar. Not necessarily a bad thing, but I wasn't anticipating that. I'm going to take a couple more sips. Why don't you talk about what flavors you're getting out of the tea?
Yeah. I mean, the Satin Glove for me is a very Nicaraguan-y San Andreas. I mean, you can kind of what it, you expect, but it doesn't, it's a little more refined, I think, than a lot of San Andreas cigars that are there, where the San Andreas doesn't necessarily overpower, the overall blend. But I got to say with this Bigelow, you know, I'm not mixing in any milk or sugar. It's just straight black tea. But it's, I don't know, when I drink it in isolation, like it's not super bitter. But when I pair it with the cigar, it really is kind of drawing almost a bitterness out of the cigar. I wouldn't say it like the tar, you know, the tarry bitterness, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It's not super pleasant.
Do you find that English teas, the English teas usually have, are quite tannic? Do you get that out of your tea normally?
I mean, yeah. I mean, the darker the tea, I mean, the more tannicky kind of palate cleansery it's going to be, which I mean, almost like astringent, right? Like it's going to have a little bit of that property. I mean, I've noticed that the longer you steep it with a black tea, the more of that you're going to get out. Mm-hmm. But I didn't steep this that long. I mean, I think it was like maybe 4 minutes. And it's a fairly sizable cup that I'm drinking out of, but I don't know. I'm curious to see if this cools off a little bit, if some of that bitterness goes away.
This first pairing is kind of working for me. I mean, it's very odd combination on the flavor map, but the cigar is returning to a little bit of creaminess. So I get a little bit of creaminess, go back to the tea, get just a little bit of spearmint, again, not overpowering. It's not bad.
It's not good, man.
Oh, it's not going well?
No, man. I don't know what it is. Like, that's why I don't drink Bigelow, man. Bigelow's for gigolos.
Just nasty,
dog. Just stay away from it.
Well, I'm going to hit up some audience questions here as we sip on our tea, or you kind of try and get the terrible taste out of your mouth. Eric Johnson wants to know, do you have a particular method for brewing tea? And I'll let you go first, because you're probably a little bit more on the tea spectrum than I am.
Yeah, I mean, with teas, right? Like, I don't really venture into, you know, any whites or oolongs or, you know, any green teas. I usually stay in the black category. So it makes it pretty easy. You just want to get, I mean, I've literally got, I mean, I'll show it to you right here. I can't bring the whole thing over. But just, you know, a Cuisinart kind of deal. Or is this a Chefman? Chefman. But just something.
Tea brewer, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just that where you can, I mean, I don't do as much loose leaf tea as I used to just because I don't really have the time. But I prefer it. But yeah, I mean, it's got a little strainer in there. Hopefully you can see it and it'll kind of strains it out and you can dump it out real easy. So it kind of serves both purposes. But yeah, I mean, the key to the brewing the other types of tea is the steeping is important, but more important is the temperature, right? Yeah. So like a wider oolong, you're doing it like 150 degrees versus boiling for a black. That's really the important thing. And having you just gut shotting it on a stove with, like, you know, one of the teapots that go, woo, I mean, you're going nowhere fast. You actually have to have something electronic.
Yeah, I use a Bonavita kettle because the girlfriend is much more of a tea aficionado than I am by far.
Really?
Way far. I'm very very light. You can see by the glasses. I'm very light on the tea spectrum, but I do pay.
Do you drink a lot of tea?
What's that?
Even though, I mean, the U.S. was a British colony at one time, and part of Canada was as well. You guys drink a lot more tea, though. In the U.S., we don't drink a lot of tea.
I think per capita, that's definitely true. We drink probably a lot more tea, yeah. And I'll talk a little bit about that on my second pairing, because we've got a pretty broad tea company that's kind of become the Starbucks of tea in Canada, in a good way, though. But yeah, I mean, I use the Bonavita kettle. I know from brewing coffee that temperature is a very, very big deal, especially with tea. 5 degrees one way, 5 degrees the other, and we're talking freedom here, can make the difference between a tea that's, you know, perfectly extracted, a tea that's under extracted, and a tea that's become bitter and astringent. So, you know, with the Moroccan mint, I did 185 for 3.5 minutes. That seems about right. For the second tea, that a Honeycrisp, I did slightly lower, about 175, 180, because it's a green tea. You got to be careful with green teas. If you go too hot in a green tea, you're definitely going to get some astringency out of there. So that's a little bit about our brewing method. So while you do what you do there, which is get your second brew ready, because this is a lot more moving parts than a normal show.
Yeah, it's not like just popping a top of it. You know, PBR and just raging, man. There's a little bit of work that goes
there's some work. There's some work involved. So I'm going to go to Jeff Madre's question because I like this question. Jeff wants to know which is preferred by each host, loose leaf or bag tea. Now, I know I probably know your answer, but go ahead.
I mean, my answer before I became really busy in life and had a baby and, you know, had a corporate job and Sig Fed and, you know, 2,000 monkeys, aka the members of Cigar Federation, to deal with. I actually prefer, I didn't start this way, but I actually prefer, you know, I wouldn't call it, loose leaf, right? It's the same thing like with a coffee person, right? Like, you're going to start with ground and then you grind your own beans. Next thing, you're roasting your own beans. It's the same thing with tea, except I've never seen anyone roast their own tea or even really that process, but I do prefer that. But frankly, it's a freaking mess to deal with. Like, if I put it in my kettle, I'm scraping the crap out. It's staining the side of the teapot. If I put it in, you know, I put it in my little trusty pipe, and then I'm steeping it for 3 to 4 minutes, you know, trying to get that out, the tea will expand. And, you know, it's just, it's frankly kind of a big pain, man. So I do prefer it, but usually mostly now I'm on the go enough where I just prefer the bag. But I will say one thing about the bag, which I have found to be true, is I wish I had an example out here. Twinnings actually comes in two different bags. They have the ones that are like these, I wouldn't call them vacuum sealed, but are like non-permeable or permeable, like almost hard plastic kind of bags. Yep. And then they have ones that are more paper-like. Yep. And I have found that the tea quality in these, because you're not getting the tea as exposed to air as much as the regular ones, seem to taste a lot better and keep a hell of a lot longer, in my humble opinion.
Well, I mean, I think you nailed the perfect analogy, drawing it back to coffee, because it's like doing a pour over on coffee. You can take all this time in the morning to make a really great cup of coffee, but sometimes life gets in the way. I think one of the things that we use in our household is these little tea strainers that fit loose leaf tea. So they basically sit in a cup. You pour the water over top of it, and then when you're done, you pull it out. It's a stainless steel unit that sits the loose leaf tea in it. Then when you're done, you take it out, dump it in the garbage, you're done. Easy, easy peasy. Obviously, it doesn't work if you're doing more than one cup, but they've got a similar idea for a pot. It's just a larger unit. And those work really well. We actually do a lot of loose leaf tea, partially because, you know, I am a bit of a snob when it comes to coffee. I'm certainly a snob when it comes to tea. And I mean, you nailed it. It's just, it's a quality of tea. If you get loose leaf tea, it's going to be fresher. It's going to be better. Not everyone can spend the time to do that, but I think if you have the opportunity to do that, it's not that hard. I mean, geez, getting a teacup and the strainer is like $6. It's not very expensive at all.
It's not expensive. No, and I would agree with you. I think that it just, it's like cigars, right? Like, I mean, there's people that smoke maybe one cigar a year and they don't even have a humidor. They go down the shop, and then there's people like Surgeon who have thousands of cigars and, you know, a freaking...
have one or two.
Yeah, and have, you know, freaking, you know, a local weatherman inside his humidor to tell you how much humidity is in there and the direction of the wind flow and everything else.
I'm telling you, weather inside John's humidor.
Pretty much.
It's pretty dry, and you better put some more water in there, John.
Exactly. So, I mean, you define your level of involvement, right? But I think with tea, it's pretty easy with what's out there. A good cup of tea, either way you go.
Absolutely. Just a reminder to your audience, you're tuned to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 66. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, joined by my special guest and the person who started the show with me, the MFNN CEO, Logan, who owns Cigar Federation. We're doing Tea Time 2.0, even quieter. I'm excited to get into my second tea because I don't want it to get too cold. This is I don't have a bag to hold up because it's came in a big container, but this is from David's Tea. David's Tea has become, and I don't want to call it the Starbucks of tea because it kind of, Starbucks has got a negative connotation to it, but they're a really great tea chain here in Canada. They opened in 2008 in Toronto, Canada. Wow. Everyone knows where Toronto is. Today they have over 150 different kinds of tea in their shops, and they have exclusive blends that they get.
Seriously?
Yeah. Dude, it is like tea mecca. And the thing is, I can probably drive.
And that's all they sell, just
tea. That's all they sell. I can probably drive 5 minutes now, maybe 8 minutes from my house and find a David's Tea. It's just like it's as proliferous as Starbucks.
Sir, do they serve the tea or do you just get the bulk stuff there to take home?
You can absolutely get them to serve the
both.
Tea, but you can, right. You can get tea to go. Yeah, they'll make you the tea on the spot. They've got all the tea making gear and then they've got just an entire wall of more tea than you've ever seen in your life. And it's all fresh, right? That's the great part. You can go in and get all this funky cool tea.
That's really cool. There's different places, not like that in the U.S., but I mean, tea is just not as popular. I mean, you can find places like that with coffee in the U.S., you know, like coffee head shops and stuff like that. But like, yeah, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a tea shop that has exclusive house blends made direct from manufacturers. I would be shocked if you found something like that in the U.S.
I mean, maybe there's a market there, but maybe there's not. Like you said, if there's not a lot of tea drinkers down in the United States, that could be a failed launch.
Out of everybody I know living in Austin, which, I mean, obviously through the course of time, you know, thousands of people. And, dude, I think I'm the only one that drinks tea.
Wow.
Now, sweet tea is a different story. Everyone drinks sweet tea.
Everyone drinks sweet tea. That makes me want to bring a couple tasters of David's Tea down for you and get some funkified.
Dude, I know. And speaking of, is that I think Cigar Federation may or may not be represented at Cats Fest. And I was going to see, are you coming down or not?
I don't even know when Cats Fest is. I'm so out
it's,
of touch.
It's Memorial Weekend.
And being end Canadian, I don't know when Memorial Weekend is.
End of May.
End of May. Nope, I will be on site opening our umpteenth, hundredth, and whatever cigar shop in the bustling metropolis of Taber, Alberta.
I thought you were about to say Biloxi, Mississippi.
Pretty much
Biloxi, Mississippi.
Yeah, it's not in the middle of nowhere. It's less in the middle of nowhere than the shop I just opened last weekend because it's only about a 2-hour, 45-minute drive for me, which is not too bad. But, yeah, I mean, it is in the middle of farm country, which is part of the attraction of the shop. But people aren't here to listen and talk about my shops. But that's where I'll be. I wish I could be at Cats Fest. It was a lot of fun. I think even if I wasn't to open the shop, I think traveling at this stage of the game would probably put me in a pretty precarious position with my significant other.
Yeah, I can hear you on that one.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this tea. I'm doing the Honeycrisp Apple, which sounds a little frou-frou. It, of course, does have apple in it. It's also got blackberry leaves. It's a green tea base. It's got some hibiscus and some pear. I got to tell you, it's pretty tasty. I think you might actually like this. It's almost It's almost like, have you ever had a sweet tea that's got like a little bit of honey and maybe a little bit of fruit juice in it? Like if you were to mix honey sweet tea with like a little bit of pear, that's kind of what it tastes like to me. It's quite good, but it's hot.
That makes it sound not as good.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Maybe my description is bad, but I mean, there's
the pear sounds good. I mean, that actually sounds quite nice.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of apple in the nose, but a lot more pear. And then when you taste it, you know how normally if you get an apple-infused or pear-infused drink, that kind of dominates the drink. Like, that's all you taste. I don't get that. It's a lot of honey. It's sweet, but not too sweet. And this is like straight. I haven't added anything to this. This is very, very different than the first tea, and I'm surprised it works. I was kind of expecting this to be the worst pairing of the night. Well, that being said, I haven't paired it yet, but I've been taking some sips, and it's quite a good tea. What do you got going on for your second tea of the night tonight?
So, my father-in-law visits this place, nuts.com, and it's like it was started.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
And there is a nut joke somewhere in there. But yeah, nuts.com, they're a mom-and-pop place, sell bulk stuff online. So, I mean, you can get candy, you can get chocolates, nuts, coffees, teas, and it's not like, for example, a certain brand. It's just their kind of house blend or their house brand. And you can get, I mean, it's fairly inexpensive. I've bought a few things, but I mean, for example, you can get a 4 ounce bag, which I mean, it's pretty much this when it's full. I mean, it's a, that's a sizable amount of tea for $5, right? So if you break that down comparatively, this versus Twinings, I mean, 10 to 1, 8 to 1, I mean, return, right? So, I mean, it's a sizable amount.
I think that's one of the things we didn't talk about is the fact that loose leaf tea gets you a lot more tea for the money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely does. Absolutely. And it gives you a lot of control, too. Like,
Roger that. As we cigar mumble into our microphones here.
I don't know how well.
This is where Logan doesn't do a great job for radio, so he's. I'm gonna move the microphone.
Can you see my hand?
Oh yeah, okay. So okay. I mean, it almost looks like chewing tobacco, really.
It kind of is. I mean, it's like a little bit. I mean, they're thin, but the leaves are just dried up and shriveled. I mean, but they're probably maybe a centimeter or two long, right? So like,
did you just use metric, dog?
I did because I don't know what I did. I was. Trying to, you know, because, you know, nobody in the U.S. drinks tea. So I got to appeal to my market here, man, which is not people in what? Who even uses the imperial system other than us? And
there's one other country and it's some like.
It's like some African weird country, right? Yeah, like
that is correct.
Like Zimbabwe or something.
Yeah.
Like something weird. But
you got to appeal to all those multi-billion Indian listeners that are.
Exactly, man. That's what I'm doing, man. I'm appealing to the masses. But I like the loose leaf tea here because I've gotten squirrely before and it gives you a lot of control to actually grind it up or mash it up a little bit. And it really opens up the bouquet before actually steeping. So it gives you a lot of control. Or if you want a little bit lighter, you can just throw it in, you know. So I do like the loose leaf tea, but it's not bad. I'm letting it cool off here in just a second. So if you've got anything you want to like a – what do you call it?
A filler.
A filler, yeah. If you're talking about a filler, then I can give you the download in just a second.
Absolutely. So I've been sipping on this, and I think you've got the notes of the tea down pretty well. I'm again, surprised. This Fratello is pairing really well with these teas. Now I'm getting more of that cinnamon and spices. And when I talk about spices, I'm talking more of a baking spice, not a hot pepper or a white pepper. So it's got a lot of complexity, and I'm getting a lot more of the defined spices and with a little bit of nuttiness. And I'm not sure if it's because you were talking about nuts for 5 minutes, but I'm getting like a little bit of peanut out of it. So it's going well, and I think what's nice, and I mean, I have no sense of what strength levels are for teas, other than, you know, black teas are typically quite strong. The strength of these teas is going really well with the cigar because they're complementing the cigar. They're not running over the cigar. They're not really astringent. Maybe when I get into the last tea, it'll be quite astringent, depending on how badly I screw up the brew. But this is pairing really well. I could actually see myself revisiting this would be a great way to spend an afternoon is trying a couple teas and smoking this particular cigar. So why don't you talk about your brew there?
Yeah. So, I mean, just to caveat it, when I was kind of getting into teas after my first trip to India, like 4 years ago, I bought nuts.com. I probably spent $40 and I have a ton of loose leaf teas. A lot of them, I haven't drinking all of them, but, out of all of their blends, the English breakfast is not the best, but it's one of the better ones. But I still don't necessarily prefer it to Twinings. I mean, Twinings is kind of my go-to. But shockingly enough, even though I wouldn't pick it alone, just by if I was going to say I'm going to drink tea, it wouldn't be the nuts. It'd be Twinings. But when I actually pair it with the cigar, it's surprisingly, I don't know if it's the cigar doing it or what, but it's a much more enjoyable tea. It's really bringing out kind of a malty flavor that is pairing really well with kind of the chocolatey spice of the satin glove. And it's quite tasty. Like I'm not a beer drinker, but I would feel like if you were drinking kind of like a chocolate stouty kind of beer is kind of what it would remind me of. So it's actually quite enjoyable.
Which I think makes a lot of sense. Cause you know, when I think San Andreas Maduro wrappers, I immediately think that's a cigar that's getting some chocolate notes, maybe a little bit of coffee, maybe, you know, a little bit of spice, slightly bit of pepper. But the nice thing about the San Andreas Maduro wrapper is that unlike, say, a broadleaf, which is going to slap you around with leather and earth and really, really bold flavors, the San Andreas Maduro is a little bit more nuanced, a little bit more subtle.
It can be. I mean, it depends on how you do it. Like in something like the Satin Glove or a Padron, it's definitely a lot less pronounced. Yep. But in something like the Jericho Hill, I mean, it's just a freaking chewy San Andreas cigar. But I mean, I think broadleaf and San Andreas are pretty easy. And the other thing about a broadleaf is it can be really sweet,
yeah,
which can work or cannot work depending on what blend you have.
I mean, you're talking about the San Andreas Maduro cigars, the Jericho Hill. I love the Jericho Hill. And I have not done any tea pairing. Mostly what I've done is whiskey and bourbon and beer. So maybe that's something I need to revisit in Tea Time 3.0.
One bourbon, one shot, one beer for the surgeon, please.
Well, you know, we already did that show with our good friend.
Did you really?
We did. Fred Brewery. Right. We did one bourbon, one scotch, one beer with Fred Brewery. And, you know, Fred just seems like the rock and roll kind of guy to do that show with. That was a lot of fun. But bringing it back to tea, I'm really surprised that the Moroccan mint went well. And I think if it was a lot more minty, I could see that going very poorly with a cigar. But it was the right balance of mint. And with the Honeycrisp apple, which does sound kind of frou-frou, I mean, it is, you know, it's got fruit in it, which every time I hear about fruit in a tea, I think, well, this isn't really a tea. It's tea leaves with
it's
a
like
bunch
infused.
Of flavoring. Yeah, it's infused.
It's like an acid.
It's like an acid. But you know what? There's a lot of people out there that smoke and enjoy acid cigars.
The most popular selling cigar on the U.S. market.
There you go. And there's a lot of people that really enjoy the flavored, quote-unquote, infused teas. And maybe this isn't something I would drink every day, but I'm pleasantly surprised. Interestingly enough, I don't think my girlfriend likes this tea at all, so I think I may end up drinking all of this on her behalf.
Nice, dude.
So this is pretty good. So you'd say the first tea pairing there, not so good. Second tea pairing, much, much better.
Yeah, the Bigelow I literally just poured out into, what do you call it whenever you're drinking wine and you just are spitting it out, your spittoon?
Spittoon, yep.
Yeah, like that's my spittoon. This, I'm boiling some more water now as we're getting going, but I kind of don't want to pour out the Bigelow, or I don't really want to pour out the nuts because it's actually quite enjoyable. That will tell you how much I'm enjoying it.
Well, I'm going to get into another audience question as I carefully manage my tea on the side here, and people make lots and lots of noise because it's ridiculously warm here in Canada. And
what is the temperature?
It was 79 yesterday. It was like hovering around 74, 75 today. That's pretty warm.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
74, 75, almost 80.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
Dude, it's not even that hot here in Texas. Like, it was 70 degrees yesterday.
I'm a little worried because, and I'll, you know what, I'll talk about that in a second. I'll get to this audience question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pull it back. So Jeff Madre wants to know, how do you think adding milk to tea affects its ability to be paired with different types of tobacco? That's an interesting question. You're kind of the tea expert, Logan. What do you think about that?
I kind of ran out of time to do that, and I know it's probably a bad excuse, but, you know, I rarely, and this is just me, with black tea, sugar it up a lot or put a lot of milk in it, like not creamer, but just regular old skim or whatever, whole milk, doesn't really matter. But what I'll say about that is that I actually had it on the airplane going over to India on British Airways, obviously. And with that, and I don't know how it would necessarily affect the milk. I think the sugar could really dominate because it can get a little overwhelming if you have the wrong amount. But I've noticed is that when your tea is warm or hot, the milk and the sugar with the tea go very well. But once it starts to cool off, the milk and the tea, for me at least, do not seem to go as well. Like it's almost like they don't really complement each other when they're cold. And I don't know why that is. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just weird. But it's not as enjoyable for me whenever the tea has gotten cold and there's milk and sugar in it.
I feel like it's kind of the same thing with coffee. I think people often use milk or sugar to hide the problems in the coffee. That is, if you've got a coffee that's really bitter or too strong, that's because you haven't brewed the coffee right. I mean, if you've brewed a cup of coffee properly, you should actually be able to drink it black. You don't have to drink it black. But what people are trying to hide, that bitter astringency, that's an indication that the coffee's been over-extracted, it's been over-roasted, and I feel like it's kind of the same with tea. If your tea doesn't taste good, maybe it was brewed for too long or at the wrong temperature, and so I don't ever use milk or sugar, and I feel like it's kind of a masking agent. You're taking away from the flavors of the tea, really.
Right. No, I mean, I think you can do that. I mean, and I don't even really know. I mean, I'm going to want to research this, but I'm not even sure where the sugar, but where the milk and the sugar idea came from, because the whole idea of drinking tea to begin with, or beer, was that the water was bad and that, you know, it was not good water. The water could be bad, and they boiled the water and then added something to it, so it would kill it, but it would still be better than drinking boiling water. Right. Yeah. That's the idea, but it's kind of counterintuitive, because what if the milk's bad? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. I mean, I think it makes it, it's kind of like, yeah, I would say creamer, right? Like for me, I'm not a big coffee drinker, but if I was going to get some coffee, it would definitely be with creamer, because I just can't handle black. I just don't like black coffee. So it's kind of almost a crutch. I would definitely agree with you on that. But I could go get some milk and creamer and try it out. But I just don't think milk would go very good with a cigar. That's just my humble opinion.
I think I agree with you. And just a reminder to our audience, you're tuned into or watching live Sharing Our Pairings episode 66, Tea Time 2.0, even quieter. Thanks very much for all of our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners that are out there. Wherever you are, we hope you're staying safe and have a chance to enjoy a brew and possibly a cigar, depending on where you're stationed. So we were just talking about tea. We were talking about milk and sugar. It's been ridiculously warm here, man. And the thing about Canada, or at least this part of Canada, is not a lot of people have central air, at least in terms of air conditioning. So my concern, as I'm sure many people are, is that if it's going to be in the high 70s consistently, It was like barely below freezing in February, which is really
unheard of.
That makes me think, well, what is it going to be like in June or July? Are we going to be hitting like 95 degrees? Because I got to tell you, 95 doesn't sound that bad when you've got an air-conditioned house. No. Try sitting in 95 degrees when you have no air conditioning.
It's miserable.
And we don't cool down at night. I mean, we are a semi-arid desert, but when it gets to summertime, I mean, it's still going to be 85 degrees at midnight. It's going to be possibly quite unpleasant.
Do you have an AC unit?
I do not.
Really? I'm very surprised you don't have an air conditioner.
I feel like
you would be a guy that would have an air, like a window unit, just in case it got intolerable in your bedroom or something.
So what's funny about that is I spent money on a climate controlled humidor, but I didn't spend money on an air conditioning unit for the window. So that shows you where my priorities are.
Maybe that's why your significant other's real pissed off right now.
There are many reasons.
And
they're all completely valid. So getting into the last pairing here, I am going with Twinings. I love Twinings. Now, I am going with the paper bag that you were mentioning earlier. I don't know.
That I was trashing. Let me see it.
That's right.
No, that's the good one.
Oh, is that the good one? It does have like a plasticky feel.
Yeah. It's got almost like a sheen to it.
Yeah.
The other one I'm talking about is what you'll see more at like restaurants, where it's like bulk, where there's like maybe 100, 200 bags in the box, and it's just like a very thin paper. And those, to me, can get almost kind of stale. Because, I mean, it's not like I drink 8 cups of tea a day, right? I might have one in the morning. Yep. So by the time I get to that 100th one, like, or I wait longer, I go a couple, 6 months, like, it can get pretty dank, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Now, I didn't write down any details about Twinnings, so maybe you can talk.
I can tell you everything that you want to know about Twinnings.
Perfect.
Twinnings is
a... Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to or not?
Please do.
Okay, yeah. Twinnings is an English-based company. It was one of the... it was the first, I guess, qualified tea companies that were in the United Kingdom. It's been started since... What was it, 1706, I think? Yeah, wow. 1706. And where they kind of got part, it was that they would travel around with the, it was part of the East India Trading Company, which, as we know, was kind of like almost a military arm of the British, and did a lot of other things too. You know, they had trading and export import stuff like that. But they, you know, going to, for example, India and China and Kenya and Sri Lanka and all these places where a lot of the black tea is grown, and just so happened to be places the British conquered. They were able to export and grow tea. And it's funny because, I mean, traveling through India, I mean, they still have Twinings plantations in India today. So, I mean, wow. They're not like, you know, like a plantation in the sense of like they have like Indian slaves or anything like that, but, you know, more of a sense that they still have land rights and land ownership there and have been growing tea there for, you know, over 300 years. So, I mean, it's a long-standing company.
Well, this Twinings tea has a lot of different. So you think about an English breakfast, and I think maybe a lot of people think English breakfast tea is quite boring or quite basic. But this actually has a blend of five different regions of tea leaves, including Kenya, Malawi, China, Indonesia. So, I mean, it is a blend of many different tea leaves around the world. I'm going to take some sips here. Maybe you can talk a little bit about. Have you had a chance to sip yet?
No, I'm still. It's still steeping, my friend. But I will very shortly.
All right, well, maybe I'll talk a little bit about, I like English breakfast tea. I mean, it is kind of my philosophy on tea and coffee in the morning is, in the morning, I tend to want something that's a little bit more full-bodied. I'm going to pause myself here as I cough. And, yeah, see how quick I was on the mute there?
You're pretty good, man. You're way better than me.
I like a bolder drink in the morning because, you know, there is that aspect of waking up. There is that aspect of, you know, my taste buds need to be shocked a little bit in the morning. And then when I'm in the afternoon, I'm probably not going to go with an English breakfast. I might go with another black tea, but something a little bit subtler. Drinking this at, you know, it's almost 8 o'clock at night, Mountain Standard, the only standard that matters. And, you know, it's a bit much. I mean, English breakfast has a lot of different flavors to it. It's got a smokiness, it's got some earthiness, and it's still working with the cigar, but I don't think it's bringing out of the cigar the notes that I was getting from the two previous pairings, and that could just be because this cigar is a little bit more nuanced than, say, you know, a Surrogates, which is going to be a little bit stronger, a little bit more in your face.
Right. I mean, I can definitely agree with that. I'm about to take my first sip, but, you know, I think Twinings, this is my English breakfast. You know, it's kind of I mean, there's a lot of different teas out there, right? And it's not my favorite tea, but it's kind of an everyman's tea. I mean, I think most people can enjoy an English breakfast and find some sort of solace in it, right? It's kind of like a cigar that, you know, everyone kind of digs and can get along with. And because, I mean, it's got kind of a wide variety of components that people can find solace in. But I like Twinings. I just think the ingredients are quality. But when you're talking about pairing it with, you're exactly right, with like a Fratello, I think it would like the maltiness, a little bit of the earthiness. And it's almost the I wouldn't say astringent properties, but the kind of like the twang that you get probably would completely dominate like a lighter cigar, like a Fratello, versus it actually stands up very well to the Satin Glove.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talked a little bit, I don't know if we said it at the beginning of the show, but I can see why Rob's, and I know, you know, after smoking with you guys for many, many years, I know Rob's palate pretty well, and I can see why Rob goes nutter over this, because this is more in the, you know, it is a medium plus bodied cigar, but it's not full of spice, it's not full of that oomph, that nicotine punch in the face that I know you tend to gravitate towards. So yep. This isn't really the type of strength of a cigar that you necessarily want to pair with this English breakfast. It might go with a lot of other black teas, but I don't know if this is the best pairing with a with this particular English breakfast.
Right. Yeah, I mean, one thing here.
Roger that.
I mean, even with, I mean, you won't believe this, but dude, I have been on a Connecticut kick in the mornings,
which
is so out of character for me.
Who are you, and what did you do with Logan?
I know, man. I know it's so crazy, but like today, I smoked the soon to be released. I don't think it's released yet, but the Southern Draw Connecticut
from Robert.
Well, yeah, quite enjoyable. But I've been smoking a lot. I mean, I smoked through my ration of the Tiger Kitty soft paws. I've been smoking shades. And personally for me, I still think it goes with, for me personally, I still think, I mean, I'll still drink an English breakfast tea in the morning and it will go well because maybe it's because I'm not a huge Connecticut fan, that the body and everything of a little bit stronger tea goes with the cigar and helps maybe amp it up a little bit. Whereas I think if I was drinking something like, what was the other one? Asami or whatever, the green tea, Umami or whatever.
Numi.
I think if I was drinking something like that was lighter, then I probably wouldn't enjoy it as much.
See, that's really interesting. And you bring up a really interesting point because, you know, the number one pairing with a Connecticut shade wrapper cigar is coffee, and coffee tends to be a very dominant drink. So that's, you bring up a really good point that you wouldn't think the strength of a coffee and the strength of a Connecticut shade, which is not a strong cigar typically the way they're normally blended traditionally, would go well together. But that's a match.
They do.
And that's probably one of perfect pairing. So that's interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's and it works well. I mean, and I've noticed that, at least for me, I've been smoking a lot of test blends lately. Teaser, knowledge drop, drum roll. And with the Connecticut, I feel like it really wakes up my palate a little bit better versus assaulting it with something and then trying to smoke test blends. I can never smoke, and this is weird probably that most people are going to hear me say this, but if I smoke test blends, it can't be on the first cigar of the day. I got to wake up my palate first.
That is interesting. That's very much the opposite of my palate. I'm going to sidelong to a question here from Eric Johnson. He says the furthest he's gotten with teas is nicer tea bags. Can you give some advice on tea to try, loose or bag, that you find pairs well with a lot of cigar varieties? And we're kind of talking a little bit about that. So you're saying that, you know, in the morning, like an English breakfast and a Connecticut shade goes really well.
Works very well.
That's interesting. So one of the things on our last show that we did, I had that Lapsang Souchong.
Oh, dude, that's trash.
You know, it's so funny because...
How could you like scotch? I can see how you would like it, but I don't like that peaty, heavy, smoky, fire-cured-y, salty stuff. Mm-hmm. But I can see how you would like it.
Well, and it's so funny because, you know, that's exactly why I like it. And I think... In a way, if you gravitate towards Islay whiskeys, you know, and that's
like
obvious. Yeah, you'll like it. And it's a very, very strong tea. So it's sort of, I think if you had a Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, a cigar, like even, I would actually think anything from Skip, you know, any of the aroma crafts might go
very well.
That might be an interesting
pairing.
The Neanderthal
would do well.
Yeah. But, you know, I think there's a wide, there's so many teas out there and there's so many cigars out there. I think, you know, the pairing advice I would give is kind of similar to the way we do with whiskeys or beers, is that if you've got something that's going to be really spicy, try to offset it with something that's a little bit sweeter. Like, I think a really spicy cigar would be interesting with a Moroccan mint tea because the mint plays off against that spice. You know, you're talking about the English breakfast pairing off against Connecticut, and they're contrasting, but sometimes contrasting is better, yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely works. I mean, you know, I mean, if you haven't really tried teas, like I recommend to everyone, right? Like if you're getting into cigars, don't go buy freaking 10,000 cigars before you know what you like. And then you're in the pipe tobacco situation where I've got literally 38, well, maybe 40 pounds of pipe tobacco, half of which I will never smoke because
that's
I don't like
tobacco, bro.
I know, dude, it's ridiculous. Which most of it I'll never smoke because I have found that I don't really like straight Virginias. I hate aromatics. And the only thing I really gravitate to are Balkans and some English blends. So I would say pick out, go and find like, you know, Nicaraguan or, you know, like, well, not related to cigars, but find your normal kind of rotational cigars that you like, and then go and buy a box of, you know, Twinings English Breakfast, get a, they call it Ceylon, but the same, it's Sri Lanka. Basically, tea grown in Sri Lanka, which is a little bit, even takes English breakfast up a notch, and then do something a little bit lighter, like a Derlinging, which is a little bit more, I wouldn't say fruity, but a little bit more bouquet, a little bit more floral, and try all three of those and just give it a shot. I mean, you can pick up those teas for 20 bags for like maybe $3 each. So under 10 bucks, you can go experiment with a bunch of different cigars. And that's what I'd tell you to do.
Now, I was kind of poo-pooing this pairing, but the English breakfast, and I don't know if it's tannins that are in it, but it's actually bringing a little bit more sweetness and almost a fruit, like a stone fruit sweetness out of the cigar.
Right.
I still don't think it's a great pairing. I think if I were to pick my favorite pairing of the night, and I can't pick a pair, a tie between the first one and the second one, but I think I'd definitely go with that Honeycrisp apple. To me, that was soft, but still had a lot of fruit characteristics. It was really, really well with the Fratello. I think the Moroccan mint, a very, very close second. English breakfast, not the greatest pairing with this Fratello, but this Fratello, I think, has a lot of capability to be paired with a wide variety of different teas. What was your favorite? Obviously, the first one's out, but...
Well, yeah, the Bigelow was absolute trash. If you drink that, then you... What is it? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. What the hell is the quote? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Like, don't do it. Then normally, I mean, honestly, I gravitate, like I said before, is that if I'm going to straight up just pick a tea to drink, it'd be Twinings. But I have to say that the nuts... nuts.com English breakfast actually did very, very, very well. And I would say almost edged out the Twinings. It has brought a little bit more maltiness to this. I think it worked with the San Andreas a lot more. I think it might be partially that this thing is still really piping hot and I burned myself today. I'm struggling a little bit drinking it, but I would actually say the nuts was quite enjoyable. And if there's anybody out there on the show, well, the first person that wants to try the rest of the bag of nuts.com, first person to email me, Logan@cigarfederation.com, and you have to put nutsack in the subject line with your name and address, I'll send you the rest of the bag if you're interested.
There you go. So thanks very much for everyone for tuning in to our Sharing Our Pairings episode 66, T-Time 2.0. We'll be back tomorrow night with Cigar Chat. We're going to have Storm from Cats, and we're going to have CFW on, which could be an interesting show on Cigar Chat at our regular time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. So check that out. We'll be back with a pairing show next week. A little bit in the air because we're shuffling schedules around. But thanks very much. And as we always say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less.
And we're fucking back.
There you go. I've missed your intro to the After Dark.
I know, man. So what the fuck's shaking, dog? I feel like I haven't seen you in like a fucking hot goddamn minute.
So a little bit more on. So I'm the general manager for a cigar franchise. So what does that mean? That means that I work under the owner of a franchise operation for cigar stores. So that is every bit as busy as you could possibly imagine. We started out the year at 9 stores with multiple signings going on. Our goal for the year was to go up to 15 stores by the end of the year. We're currently, I think, signed for 16 stores right now. And it's like the first 3 months. Yeah, we've already opened 2 stores. Third store is going to be opening in a couple weeks. Fourth store of the year is going to be opening at the end of the month. Fifth store is going to be in June. Sixth store is probably going to be in July or August. And we might have to do 2 stores in 1 month. So part of taking this gig, I wasn't really expecting a lot of travel. Foolish me. So now I'm traveling around because, you know, part of setting up a new store is doing merchandising and training and helping them get on their feet. And it's fun, but my significant other, not a huge fan of me taking off for 4 or 5 days for work and, you know, going to parts unknown and being out of contact. So that's been an interesting challenge for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'll definitely say that, you know, I mean, I travel a lot for work and I'll do international. I mean, I don't do, you know, 2.5 month stints overseas like I've done in the past now with the baby. But the key to work travel is start it when you first move the job, you know, and if you haven't traveled, it definitely takes a little bit of a hump to get over and get used to, especially if the other spouse doesn't travel.
Yeah.
It's very, very tough. So I do not envy you.
It is tough. And I mean, my calendar, I said on Facebook, my calendar looks like a rainbow threw up all over it. Because I'm literally balancing every evening to 45-minute blocks to make sure that I'm covering support for the franchises, that I'm, you know, getting my reviews in like a good soldier for Cigar Federation. Of course, we've got our weekly show, which used to be bi-weekly, but you crazy people out there seem to want to tune in on a weekly basis. So we're delivering content in spades this year with all our guests. So the funny thing is that the IPCPR may end up turning into a bit of a break for me, because all I get to focus on for the IPCPR for the most part will be Cigar Federation content. So it's going to be kind of a mini vacation, which sounds really weird because we work long hours at the IPCPR. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's not – everyone thinks it's all fucking fun and games and, you know, grab dick in and slap ass. It's not.
No.
It's not.
No, it's, I mean, beyond the fact that, you know, we're walking a showroom floor for 8.5 hours, all that content's got to be delivered, processed, and put out to make sure that we're still delivering the best in-show video and audio content from the IPCPR. And we intend to kick it up a little bit this year. We'll probably reveal some more details of that as we get closer to the IPCPR, but we're bringing it with both barrels for 2016.
We're bringing both barrels, and we're bringing a supporting cast. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be serious.
It's going to be the real deal.
And, I think one of the nice things about this year is, you know, we've got these great relationships with people in the industry, and I think that's just a natural part of being a cigar reviewer and running a cigar blog, as it were, cigar media site. But we haven't really had a lot of opportunity to get out of the hotel and spend some time with those people. And I think we've got a much better balance this year where we'll be able to go out, work some deals, talk about, you know, some of the things we've got coming on the shows, book guests, all that stuff we weren't necessarily able to do in the past year. So anyways, we've talked lots about the IPCPR. When is your next travel to India? You seem to be going to India like every couple of months.
I just got back. I mean, I actually haven't been since last 2015, late June, early July was the last time I was over. So it's almost been a year since I've been back. I mean, things are pretty stable with our operation. I mean, the only reason I went over, I'm going to probably have to go back once or twice more this year, is not to get too in-depth on, you know, the Indian employment economy. But I've done a great job, not to take credit, but it is kind of credit due to me. I've done a great job building a team of about 50, you know, social analysts out there, getting them trained, process procedures, you know, getting them to understand what we're doing. The problem is they're doing so good that other companies like Accenture, Deloitte are setting up similar operations out there, and they're hiring my people kind of sight unseen for 50% promotions. It's kind of hard to fucking keep up with that. So rebellion, and I don't know if I did a good job or not.
Well, I guess we'll find out later in this year, won't we?
Yeah, we're going to know probably in about 3 months if Logan was able to sweet talk some people, but I don't know how well I did.
So here I am complaining about my schedule, and of course you've got a baby that's how old is Callaway now? 2.5?
She'll be 2 years July 29th. So at 29th, she'll be what, 21 months?
That's right, because she's an IPCPR baby.
Yeah, she's old, man.
She's old. So that's gonna be tough to balance awesome. That in Cigar Federation, which, you know, entails a lot of complexities.
Yeah, I mean it's not easy, but I mean, I have to give all credit due to my wife who, I'll admit it was much tougher. Cause I mean, literally Allie was off for 3 months for maternity leave. She went back, to work on a Monday. We put Callaway in daycare, cause we both, you know, have corporate jobs. And then on Saturday I went to India.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was pretty stupid.
Stress levels going to be a little high from that.
A little high, but I think it was good cause I kind of broke her in and I try to do things to help make her life a little bit easier. You know, like I'll take care of the backyard before I leave. I'll cook like 10, 15 pounds of chicken so she can just, you know, I'll smoke it and we'll cook it. So that way she can just throw it in the microwave and warm it up. You know, do those type of things to make her life a little bit easier. But I mean, I have to admit, she's been out on a business trip the last it'll be 4 days. And dude, like, I'm struggling over here. We have no food. Like, it's the bottom of the barrel. Callaway's going to have to eat, like, freaking, you know, like, I don't know, like, cheers. Rice cakes. Like, I mean, it's we're struggling. And my wife, I just have to give all credit to her because she does a great freaking job. And I don't know how she does it, but she does. So,
you know, I got to give you compliments. With all that going on, you managed to clean up the mop top there, and you're looking pretty svelte.
Dude, thank you, man. I always cut it before I go to India because it's just like a good luck, superstitious thing. But, dude, it was so long before I left. I could literally put it in a ponytail. It was so legit, dude. Like a little man bun.
Out of control.
Dude, a little man bun. Dude, it was so freaking hot. And I mean hot, like pretty hot and tempting. And I was like, I got to cut. So literally Allie had to cut it, like clogged up. Because, I mean, Allie just uses a razor and does it. And it literally clogged up the razor, dude. It was just no good. But, yeah, thank you, man. I'm trying to look a little more dapper.
Well, I think mission accomplished. So next week on Sharing Our Pairings, we're supposed to have we're going to do a special on the collective because we shockingly have not done the collective pairing.
And, really?
Yeah, it's surprising. I think part of it is, you know, not trying to toot the Cigar Federation horn too hard on Sharing Our Pairings, but I've smoked so many of them. I booked the show, and then I went through my humidor to try and find one. And I probably spent a good half an hour digging in my humidor, and I managed to find one tucked away in a very special location. So I'm good, but we might be moving our guests around, and we're going to see if we can move up Enrique, because Rob has made himself available for next week. So we had Enrique booked, Enrique Sanchez of 1502. We're going to do sit down and pair of 1502 with rum, because that's kind of his gig. And we're going to do that on May the 4th, but we're going to see if we can move him up to April 27th. And then I don't know what we're going to do. We're shuffling around. We're kind of getting closer and closer to the IPCPR. And as it always happens every year, we get pretty frenetic around here as we try to juggle all the shows and guests.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So there's going to be no show on May the 10th. Rob's going to be out of town. I'm going to be out of town. We might try and see if the golden voice of Matt can do a pre-record show with me to do a beer pairing. We have yet to get Matt on Sharing Our Pairings, which is really quite a shame given how much beer that guy drinks. So maybe we can do a
pre-record. He's got problems, man.
He might have a beer problem. It's quite possible.
Like his, what is it, Untappd was when we started doing the math. Epic.
It was more beers than days in the year, and those were just unique.
Yeah, so, dude, it was pretty awesome.
So we're gonna try and get him on a show. Maybe we can do a pre-record for May the 10th and still deliver some quality content. After we come back, we're gonna have Tony Bellotto on, which will be a great show. We haven't had Tony on since last year, and we've got Cigar Chat guests booked out. We're gonna have to fill that in again. We're kind of scrambling as we get closer to IPCPR. Everyone gets pretty busy with all the traveling around to cigar shops, getting ready for the IPCPR. And then June is always the toughest month because everyone is kind of in show mode. And yep. Who knows, you and Rob may end up doing some Cigar Chat shows where it's just the two of you shooting the shit.
Yeah, I mean, good thing with IPCPR is everyone wants to get on the show. I mean, I don't know about Sharing Our Pairings, but with Cigar Chat, most people want to get on the show right before the trade show. So those are actually, the week of the show is tough, but like up until that point, it's not hard because everyone wants to talk about what they're going to be doing at the show before the show.
Well, it's always a good preamble for the IPCPR, and I'm sure we're going to have a Cigar Federation only show trying to release some of the content that we've been teasing about what we're going to be doing for the show. But yeah, it should be good, man. It's all about juggling schedules from now until July.
Yes, sir.
So with that, we'll wrap up our After Dark segment, and make sure to tune in next week at our regular time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. We're going to have somebody on. Don't know who it's going to be, but we'll have a show for you. And again, make sure to check out Cigar Chat tomorrow night. We're going to have Storm Boone. Storm, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. I know it's Storm. Is it Boone or Boone or Bean? Or
say that again.
Storm Boone?
I just call him Storm.
Yeah.
I can't. Just much easier. I think it's Bowen, B-O-E-N.
Oh, that probably makes a lot more sense.
I think.
Super good guy, though.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He'll be on Cigar Chat tomorrow night, so make sure to check that out. If you can't check it out live, we'll have it on podcast for you, as always. And as we say on Sharing Our Pairings, make sure to drink better, but drink less.